Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Parenting. Let's take a look at parenting today. You know, this is National Parenting Weekend, or National Parenting Sunday. So we are pausing as a nation to give thought to parents today that raise children, many of them as a two-parent family home, many as a one-parent family home, many step-parents, foster parents, various kinds of parents in different varieties of life and situations, but they're all parents. They all have that one common denominator. They're parents and caring for children and doing the best they can within the context of their own family home. You know, Confucius made a statement that is pretty profound regarding parenting. He says this: the strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home. Well, the integrity of the home depends upon the integrity of the parents. We have strong parents, we have honest parents, we have parents that value life and value children and value the importance of morals and an upbringing that is strong and positive and contributing to a society, contributing to a community. That's where integrity of the home prevails. So today we want to increase the integrity of the home, if you will, by taking a look at the issue of parenting. You know, parenting is one of the most difficult tasks and one of the most important tasks a person can undertake. The impact and the results of a person's parenting will last and extend itself from one generation to another and beyond. It is not a task to be undertaken lightly either, you know. It takes ongoing training. It takes ongoing skill development. It takes ongoing work at developing positive, close, bonded parent-child relationships. So parenting is a must, but the training to be a parent is very important. You see, parents are not to dictate to their children, but to discuss with the children. So it takes communication skills of discussion and interaction, sitting on a couch, sitting across the table from each other, sitting across the car from each other, taking a walk around the block together. Opportunities to discuss. Seek out opportunities to discuss rather than to just dictate and tell children what to do and what not to do. Children thrive in a relationship, a parent relationship, where there is discussion daily. Sometimes it's extended. Sometimes it's just very brief. Sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's academic. Whatever it might be, children thrive on discussion with their parents. The other thing is that it's important is that kids enjoy the parents who spend time with them. Kids bond with parents who spend time with them. It doesn't take a lot of time, often. Sometimes it is an extended period of time. Sometimes it's very brief. But you spend time with your children. And if you have more than one child in the home, you spend time with each child separately, individually, as well as a joined family all together. And obviously parents need to give kids a great example of how to live their life. Children will live the life as the parents live their life. Children imitate their parents. Parents are the models, the example of how to live life, and kids will follow that. So parents, take a look at what you're doing. Do you want your children to do what you're doing? Do you want your children to have your habits? Do you want your children to have your addictions? Do you want your children to have your way of life, your way of thinking, your value system, your moral system? Do you want your children to live like that? Well, that's a very deep and profound question to ask yourself, particularly now as we look at a weekend and a Sunday coming up as Parenting Day. Now, in terms of a Parenting Day, let me ask a series of questions, give you a chance to assess your own parenting skills, a chance to assess how well you are in the area of child management. This is a good time to do it on a parenting day. Here's the first question for you, okay? After you have told your children to do something or to not do something, do you follow through to check to see if it's been done or if they avoided it? Did you really properly follow through and check it out? See, it's easy to tell a kid what to do or what not to do and then just go your way in life and just figure you've done your parenting duty. No. Your parenting duty is to follow through to make sure that whatever it is you ask, that it's done, that it's been followed through. And then you can praise the child who has correctly followed your direction. Or you can correct a little bit, or you can modify it a little bit. But if the kid did not follow it through, that's time then for you to be corrective with that particular child, so that there's an understanding that when you ask, it will be done. Okay, that's number one. Okay? You follow through after asking the child to do something. Okay? Here's number two. Do you involve your children in the making of rules in the home? You know, every home has rules. Sometimes they're written out. Sometimes they're just understood. Sometimes they're verbally expressed. Sometimes you make them up as you go. That's not very good, by the way. It's best to have rules written out. And do you sit down as a family and discuss the rules with your kids so that they contribute to the writing of rules? If they do contribute, they're going to be much more likely to follow those rules and make them more individual and personal. Okay, that's two. Let's look at number three. When trying to instill new behavior patterns, which we all do with our kids, right? Do you make liberal use of tangible and verbal rewards? Here's the idea. You want your kids to do something. If they do it, you reward it. You praise it. You approve it. You reward it in some kind of way. You reinforce it. If your kid does something, it is deserving to be immediately followed up with a tangible reward. Whether it's a little item that it can have, or something it can eat, or just a word of appreciation. But whatever it is, make sure you follow up. Whatever you ask a kid to do, and they do it, follow that up with a reward. Here's number four. When correcting your children, do you explain what is wrong, what is undesirable, and do you explain what you want them to do? What is the better alternative? What is the right alternative? You see, if you look at it this way, punishment tells a child what not to do, but it never tells him what to do. That's your job. Punishment just says stop. Stop doing that. Do not do that. That's what punishment says. But rewards and commendations and instructions tell the child what to do. What's the better alternative? That's what you want to get to. It isn't a matter of you become a disciplining parent or a correcting parent. It's that you become a parent that teaches the child what to do and then commend them for doing that. Here's number five. Do you clearly explain what you expect of your children or of your child? And you give them an example. You discuss an example and you give them feedback once they've done it. You see, you may have your expectations for your children. You may wish that they would do something. You may desire them to do something. You may want them to do something. But if you don't communicate that, they're not going to do it. You need to communicate that. And you need to communicate that very clearly in terms that they understand. Sometimes you have to show them. Sometimes you have to walk them through the situation, what you want them to do. Sometimes you do it with them two or three or four or five times, and then you fade out, and then they can kind of take it from there. Of course you want your kids to clean the room, but sometimes kids don't really know what that means. And maybe you need to walk them through that. Two or three or four or five times you clean the room with them, and then maybe a little less, and then maybe a little less, and then maybe then they begin to do it more themselves. Don't expect your children to know what you think and what you define it to be just because you said it. You need to show it to them, okay? Here's number six. Do you listen actively, and do you listen carefully to your children? Are you an active listener? Do you pause and listen? Do you stop what you're doing and listen? Do you sit down in a chair and sit down with a child and listen? Do you hold the child's hands when the child talks? And as you interact and you converse with the child, do you sit on each other? Do you sit on the lap and let the child sit in your lap? Do you sit next to the child in a chair? Do you hold hands as you walk? Do you connect with your child as you talk and as you listen? Are you an active listener? Do you look into the face, look into the eyes? Do you express yourself? Do you smile? Do you greet the child? Do you commend the child? Do you praise the child for the ideas that they've shared or the comments that they've made and appreciate that you know what now they think? So listen actively, okay? You know, as a parent, here's number seven. Do you deal with your children's social and academic behavioral problems? You know, every kid has some problems in school. Sometimes they're behavioral. Sometimes it's a math problem. Sometimes it's a little bit of a spelling issue. Sometimes it's more of a grammar issue. Sometimes it's whatever it might be. Do you stop and you help the child get through that little speed bump in the academic difficulty that they're experiencing or the social difficulty they experience? Are you checking to see if your kids are bullied? You check and see if the teacher is being fair and being considerate of your child and being helpful to your child. Do you really look and do you really study? Do you really attend? Do you really ask questions? Do you go and look and do you go and pay attention to what's going on at school? And you watch your child and are you aware of some of the difficulties your child may be having? And are you addressing them right on the moment, at the time, as compared to just delaying it and putting it off? Children need your constant involvement in the academic learning environment. Okay? Now, here's another one. Do you expect your children to be part of a family bond? Do you expect your children to connect with extended family members? Do you expect your children to know their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins? And do you take the steps to make that happen? Do you travel to where they are? Do you invite extended family members to your home? Do you have family involvements and activities so your kids can know their cousins, can know their aunts and uncles and their extended family members? You see, sometimes extended family members have a lot to contribute to your children. So make sure that you have the adequate involvement of extended family members in the life of your kids. Very, very important. And here's another one. Are you consistent in what you expect of your children from day to day, situation to situation? You see, it's easy for us to expect our children to do something one day and then overlook it the next day because we're busy and we get involvement in other kind of things and we just ignore it. No. If you expect your child to behave a certain way, that's every single day you expect that. You don't vary. You don't say, well, today I want you to do this and then tomorrow maybe be different. Or maybe you overlook it, you know, tomorrow. Don't do that. You need to be consistent in what your expectations are, you know, of your kids. And then number 10 as a parent, when you assess your parenting skills, when a serious problem arises, when some kind of a social problem, emotional problem, academic problem, medical problem, physical problem, whatever it might be, do you quickly take action to address it, to solve it, to help it through? Interesting research study was done recently showing that parents who have a child that experiences a medical problem, such as a stomach ache, take about 2 days to get to the physician. But if that child has a behavioral problem, an emotional problem, a social problem, it takes the parents 2 years to get that child into a professional for help and assistance. That's terrible. Why do we do that as parents? Why do we give such importance to a stomach ache and we then overlook, you know, things like a child being bullied or your child bullying other children or crying all the time or having headaches or having stomach aches that are emotionally driven, you know, have some kind of a social conflict with a friend and so on? Why do you delay almost 2 years before you bring that child into a situation where as a family you come together and have treatment? We cannot delay. We cannot postpone. One problem is the same as the other. One problem is as important as the other. Take action as a parent. Make sure that you get involved in the problems of your kids and be part of the solution of those problems. That will teach the child that when they have a problem in their life, they'll seek help rather than to just try to do it all themselves and not do very well. So it's a message that you're telling your kids. When problems occur, you address those problems. And sometimes that requires professional help. And you do it. Well, anyway, as a parent, it's very important that you look at these 10 ways of analyzing how you are as a parent, how well you're doing as a parent, especially now this weekend as we look at Parenting Day this coming Sunday. So, as parents, take notice. As a parent, take action. As a parent, just get out of your doldrum and get into the life of your kids and get into your life of your family and bring up the integrity level of your family so that children are not only appreciated, but they're really enjoyed. And that your kids don't just live, but they live successfully. So thanks for joining me today, and Let me refer you to my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. You know, there's a book there entitled Lessons from My Father. A great little lesson for parents to kind of look at and read, kind of one little reading per day. It's kind of motivational, it's inspirational. Learning from other parents, how they have learned from their parents. And then another book there, which is obviously in the book that I have drawn the today's discussion from, Dr. Teach Me to Parent. That's 62 lessons in intentional parenting. So as a parent, that's a manual. That's a book to have available. Whatever problem comes up in your home, you can look into that book and find some help, find some direction. Don't go it alone. Find some ways in which you can build some help and build some assistance in your life as a parent so you become more effective. Remember, the future of the nation depends upon the integrity of the home. Okay, bye for now.